Welcome back to episode 196 of the BlockEarner podcast. Here's where we discuss the latest development in cryptocurrency while we make this new technology relatable to you. You can watch this podcast on YouTube to follow along with our discussion. Another way to stay up to date is by signing up to our newsletter at theblockrunner.com. As always, we have your host, William, talking to your co-host, Iman. And here are some of the topics they discuss today. First up, analyzing the assessment of the Meta Protocol DMT-NAT standards development, emphasizing the need for robust governance in the crypto space. Next, explore the token allocation system to democratize technical development and decision-making. Then, looking over the problematic nature of IDOs, drawing parallels with the ICOs of the past while recognizing recurring patterns in crypto market trends. And finally, Iman and Will discuss the balance between concentrated versus communal efforts in the advancement and governance of technology. All right, let's listen in.
Welcome back to another episode of the BlockRunner podcast. I'm your host, William, always here with your co-host, Iman.
What's going on, dude?
And on the sticks, we got TJ.
Hello.
All right, dude. Finally back. We're T-minus 7 days. No, 6 days for the Vision Pro.
No. Hold on. I'm looking at my my date here. So, hold on. What's the actual date?
The drop second? Is the February 2nd, yeah.
Okay, but you're not actually going to get your hands on yours until...
Well, Oscar's going to come and...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're actually going to get to dabble very soon here.
Yeah.
All right, I'm looking forward to that big time.
Yeah. I mean... What does that have to do with crypto, though, Iman? It has a lot to do with the metaverse.
I mean, everything has something to do with crypto one way or another.
That's
at some point, right? But, I mean, Vision Pro, yeah, it's definitely on our radar. I'm looking forward to it only because, I mean, this is like, from like a metaverse industry perspective, this is like one giant like swing at like trying to, you know, regenerate some interest.
Well, this is the biggest company in the world worth $3 trillion.
Right.
Trying to take a stab at the metaverse, even though they've never said that word.
Right. Now, the whole marketing is like being... like re-navigated towards a much more like this is a work enhancement tool.
Yeah.
Like you see it now with like Meta's like commercials and stuff. They're like fucking 360 no scope flipping their fucking headsets and shit. It's like, it's like no hands, dude. Oh fuck, that poked me in the eye, you know?
Yeah. Dude, that looked like it went right in your eye.
Pretty much did, dude. So that's what, you know, people are going to do with their headsets. You know, they're going to bash themselves on the face with their...
They're going to drop it and the glass just shatters.
Yeah, I don't know what the decision was for that to be like the angle of that commercial or that ad is like, what is that? I don't know. I wish we... Can we play the ad for people who don't like know what the hell I'm talking about just for funsies sake?
Because let's see.
Yeah, now that the Vision Pro's on the horizon, like Meta's like on full... like marketing mode. It's like, how do we stand out? It's like, I know.
Yeah.
Let's flip our headsets around. It's like, dude, that was it.
Right.
I don't know, dude. Maybe I'm missing something.
Yeah, it's like you would never do this with your Quest.
Maybe that's it. Or the Vision Pro, because it's too fucking heavy.
Oh, that's what it is.
Oh, shit. I didn't even think about that. That's a good idea now. It's like, you know what? Ours is so light and like it's a feather.
Yeah.
You could finesse it like a tech deck, dude. Like a tech deck. You could do ollies with your fucking Oculus.
Right.
You know? You can't do that with your Vision Pro because it's a brick on your head.
Yeah. How the hell am I going to find this, though?
I mean, I'm sure it's like the easiest thing to find. You just go to YouTube and type in like Oculus ad. Watch.
All right. Let's see.
Here it comes.
Oculus ad. All right. Here we go.
Uh-oh, maybe it's not that easy to find. No, it's got to be like a recent one within the last like couple of days or something like that.
Oh, shit.
That was like 6 years ago, dude. Okay, yeah, never mind. This is like the most difficult thing to find, I guess, but you'll find it out there.
Yeah.
It's out there.
Yeah, but you're right. Everybody was flipping their headsets, putting it on like they're like the coolest cats on the planet.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they decided to do that.
Well, it makes more sense now that, yeah, it's just, it's a completely like a weight comparison thing.
Yeah.
It's like throwing a jab at Apple indirectly.
Right.
Right. No, yeah. But anyway, it is. I just saw it.
Is this it? Yeah. Here it is.
Wait, that's not it.
No, that's not it.
All right. Fuck this thing, dude. Yeah. All the headsets are dumb.
Scrap this whole thing, huh?
Yeah, dude. It's like, because we can't even find our ads easily. It's like the whole industry's no good.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, wait. Here it is.
No, we found it.
Hold on. Let me do that again so you can see this guy's flip. Here it is.
Whoa, wowzers.
Okay, we got to turn this off. There it is.
That's copyright for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're, you know, architecting and designing and stuff. That was a sick flip. That was a great flip. That's a 10 out of 10 flip.
All this is CG, by the way. You notice that her hands don't really do anything. It just like automatically flips in midair.
Yeah. Yeah, no one's actually going to do this.
Look at that.
It's just like, could you imagine somebody doing that? It's like, dude, what are you doing, bro? Why would you do that?
This was worth the wait.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that the first time you saw it, TJ?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So this is Meta. Like, you know, it's like Vision Pro's coming, but why would you want that fucking brick?
Yeah. You know? For $500, you can do all this jazz.
That's right. Yeah. So it's interesting just seeing like big tech companies like throw jabs at each other through marketing.
Right.
But yeah, okay. So we're going to get our hands on the brick in a couple of weeks or in a week.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. So in other news, we want to talk about some bitmaps, DMT, talk about track. What else?
Potentially, there's some drama in the space right now.
Oh, yeah.
With like, the Bitcoin L2 space, yeah. Satoshi VM, IDOs in general. And if you don't know what IDO stands for, it's a initial DEX offering, right? Yeah. A spin on the original initial coin offering from like the 2017 era.
Right.
And if you don't know what that was, it was literally like the first killer crypto wave that attracted like retail mania attention, where people would just publish white papers for like some concepted project.
Yeah, just a website project.
Yeah, and they were all deploying ERC-20 tokens on Ethereum and is raising tens of millions of dollars to actually build these projects out. And if you actually follow the trajectory and life, lifespan of these projects, I'd say like 99.9% of them didn't actually come to fruition. So
yeah.
So that's it. So now it's like,
so it's happening on Bitcoin.
Right. IDOs were like a huge component to the 2021 bull cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of people got burned through that. And typically, like, you know, these devices, they kind of like, once they get exhausted, you would assume they wouldn't come back. Right.
Yeah. I feel like the memory span of like the crypto community is small. Mm. But I, you know, we go back to the same kind of debate. It's like, is it small or is it well understood that these are schemes and people who are purchasing these schemes understand it's a scheme and they're trying to
capitalize
on
play hot potato, basically.
Yeah, there you go.
That's the way I look at it. Yeah, if everybody is like in on this like collective understanding that like, yeah, these are like disingenuous like crypto products.
Yeah.
Literally capitalizing on like current day narratives and such like that, just to kind of galvanized market interest. It's like we all get it.
Yeah, right? I feel like it's so consistent that it must be that.
What's consistent?
These schemes, all the way from ICO to IDO on Ethereum, IDO on Bitcoin.
Yeah. Well, I think all it takes is like one actor to kind of like get away with it, like Satoshi VM, like a clear narrative in a market, like demand comes up, like Bitcoin L2.
Yeah.
Like there's a clear market demand for this space now because there's some successful products on Bitcoin L1 that are congesting the chain to the point where it's like now everybody can kind of like formulate this vision of the future where all this activity needs to migrate to a secondary layer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, let me capitalize on that.
Yeah. Let me spin up a website.
Yeah.
And let me coordinate with my buddy Launchpads and let's launch a token where we intend to do nothing.
Yeah, and the thing that's egregious about it is like it's a launch I don't exactly know exactly what they're launching, because it's like we're raising $100,000 and only like it's like a lottery. Mm-hmm. Like 100,000 people are like putting their name in the hat.
Yeah.
And we're only going to draw 100 out of you 100,000 somehow. And it's like the drawing process is like completely.
Yeah. Obscured.
Right. So it's like 100 of you guys are actually going to be part of this launch.
100 of my friends are going to be part of this launch.
Yeah, and then whenever the 100x happens, because we set the price at such like a egregiously low market cap.
Yeah.
You know, by the time it actually hits the market, it looks like it's done 100x and not everybody's paying attention.
Yeah.
This is the biggest opportunity in all crypto.
Yeah.
100x galore, dude. So it's like, come in and buy this fucking thing.
Yeah, every single launch is 100x.
Right.
Just because the market caps are like $20,000-$50,000.
Yeah. And then now we have like an actual token on the market with like these 100,000 people who missed out.
Mm-hmm.
It's like wanting to have, you know, catch the next leg up. That's the perception, right?
Yeah.
And that shit gets reactivated, redeployed over and over and over again for every new project.
Mm-hmm.
We saw this happen like all of 2021. And yeah, I don't know. Like what's the takeaway from this? Just realization that it's happening or is going to happen on Bitcoin?
We're really good about recognizing patterns and talking about patterns, right?
Yeah.
So this is a pattern that we recognize consistently every cycle, and it's happening again. And that's pretty much it. Yeah.
You do whatever
you want with that information.
Yeah. So the Satoshi VM was like the first like big one. So now it's recatalyzing the interest in like everybody's like the new narrative in town is like IDO season's back, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's this one was so egregious. It's like they're pitching a Bitcoin layer two narrative and then they launch an Ethereum token.
Yeah.
Like we saw the Bitcoin cats do that too.
Yeah.
I don't know, dude.
Bitcoin cats, man. I just can't believe $100 million.
Yeah. I don't know. So I don't exactly know what to kind of like deduce from all of this other than like we're just witnessing kind of like we predicted this would happen.
Mm-hmm.
Is this like acceptable?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, what can you do about it though? That's the thing. It's like you just have to recognize a pattern and then just like not pay attention to it. Even though everybody's talking about it on Twitter.
Yeah, I guess that's the thing. It's just forming like a clear separation because like, you know, we have our content that we produce,
mm-hmm.
that we put out there. And we tell you guys this like consistently, like we're interested in like the bear market phase because that's whenever like you can actually see.
Sift through like actual.
Well, that shit isn't happening in a bear market, right? Because it can't happen because there's not enough like retail participants to like allow that to happen.
Correct, yeah.
So what you're actually looking at and following are like the actual builders and innovators in the space trying to solve real problems,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's the stuff we like. Right?
Yeah. That's why we saw Track so early.
Yeah.
Right? Track, we found it at 5 cents,
mm-hmm.
and they were building a solution to a very big problem in Bitcoin.
Yeah. Super obvious one.
Yeah.
And it wasn't obvious exactly how they were going to like roll it out and like, back then, we're talking like early days of BRC20s.
Yeah.
Like a couple of weeks after the, maybe like a few weeks after the standard deployed, Track was on our radar just because like you sift through all these different like meme coins and stuff. This was the only one with like an actual fundamental value premise to it, right?
Yeah.
Now, was there evidence to suggest like Benny could actually execute on all this?
No.
Not at that time.
No, there wasn't.
Yeah, so you did have to kind of like take a leap of faith there, and you know.
Yeah, but those are the leaps of faith that when you make that leap, you can sleep at night, right? If you're buying Satoshi VM tokens, you can't really sleep at night because who knows when they'll rug. But in this case, especially since this is an Ethereum token, you have to add liquidity and all this stuff, and then you got to pull liquidity if you want to rug, and it's like it's rugability. Did you know that we're more than just a YouTube channel? We also built Mscribe, the first inscription platform built from the ground up for the metaverse on Bitcoin. Connect your bitmap ordinals and use our tools to bring your community into the virtual realm. Support us by joining the movement at mscribe.io. Like, comment, and subscribe for the latest alpha. Back to the video.
So what's the difference between like a Track and like a Satoshi VM? Because rewinding back to those early BRC20 days, it is kind of like a similar leap of faith as far as like, what it is Benny kind of like promised as far as like ecosystem delivery. Like mm-hmm. it was a huge endeavor, a mm-hmm. big vision, mm-hmm. a huge task, technical task. You're like, dude, there's no guarantee he could actually pull this off. And there were other projects around that time making equally as large claims. Mm-hmm. And they didn't actually come to fruition.
Yeah. Right? So what? Yeah. So your question is: so what was it about Track and Benny and
versus like Satoshi VM, who are making bigger big claims also?
Right.
And there's like an absence of evidence they can actually execute, just like there was for Track. But like back then, we didn't feel like there was like an egregious like element. Yeah. To
I mean
it,
that
right?
that's a very good question, because when we discovered Track, we've already identified an indexing problem, right?
Correct.
Ordinals exist because of indexing, mm-hmm. right? And then so like, who's doing the indexing? It's like, well, we have Unisat.
Yeah.
It's like, but who else? That was nobody else but Track.
Pretty much. And then Genie Data popped up.
Yeah,
and,
then they popped up. Yeah.
Yeah. Ordinals Wallet had their own thing going. But then
let me establish a parallel. Now we have Satoshi VM. We clearly second layer Bitcoin is a big deal. It's a big problem.
Correct.
It's like we have Stacks. Who's been around way before everybody else.
Correct.
They've been building a second layer way before it was actually needed.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, they exist. It's like, that's a pretty good option, right? Mm-hmm. To stake your entertainment value, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Satoshi VM comes in with this huge marketing narrative. But what's the difference between the two? Yeah. One came before the wave and the other one came after the wave.
Yeah.
So that's a good indicator right there that's all the information you need.
It's that wave, right?
Yeah.
That's what it is.
And it's not to say that you can't come up with solutions after the wave. You can. It's just the way they went about it was a little made us skeptical.
I guess it's the marketing like tactic of it all.
Yeah.
Like
Benny's out here like delivering products. He's like doing stuff.
Yeah.
He's not like promising stuff. He's doing stuff.
Yeah, there was no way for Benny to kind of like come out the gate with this type of mechanism, because it didn't exist, you know, in early 2023. You can't, because that was like a peak of the bear market times, you know, so.
Well, yeah, there wasn't infrastructure for that either.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. This is really like a discussion on like the ethos of like fair mint and versus non-fair mint.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that, because fair mints are cool, right? That's what largely brought us to Bitcoin, because it was like you can't really rug this. It's just like it's there and you mint the token or you don't, and then that's it. Like mm-hmm. there's nothing beyond that happens.
Yeah.
But we were talking about this in the sense that that's not going to bring the masses in, right? Because in order to build a product, you need some capital.
Mm.
And so typically people sell tokens to build that product.
I see.
And so there is a place where you can sell tokens to build that product. It's just that this mechanism gets co-opted by these like bad actors.
So do you think there'll be like different? So really it boils down to like funding mechanism, funding generation mechanisms, right? Like right now, Web3 only has a handful of candidates, right? There's like the VC funding route.
Mm-hmm.
Where you have to have like a good idea or some semblance of a prototype or something, and you have to have some sort of industry
experience
know about how to navigate that VC waters to attract that type of a backing, so that you can actually proliferate what your vision, make it into reality.
Yeah,
especially if you're trying to address like a real problem or deliver a real product that are gonna like real humans are gonna find value in, right?
Yeah.
So there's that. Then there's kind of like the I guess like the public offering route, like what Bitcoin Cats did. It's like, here's this new thing, you know, give us your tokens and we're going to promise you these new things,
these new tokens
in return. Right.
Yeah.
We've seen that executed many times in the past.
Yeah. And the only caveat there is that you can't sell that to Americans.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a big, or other, a bunch of other countries too.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Right. So, but of course there's ways around that for if you're truly trying to participate. But is there anything else beyond that? Like, as far as like sustainability, okay, there's like the royalty thing.
You could create a product and start selling the product. Or maybe you could do that.
Well, yeah, but even that, like we see that in NFT like landscape. A lot of NFT projects, they do that. They create like a nice product, a nice marketing campaign around it.
Yeah.
like a couple months of marketing, and then they now it's like Mint is open. Mm-hmm. Come buy this thing. And I just made, you know, $10 million.
Yeah.
Then what?
Well, they purchased the product, right?
Then I guess the expectation is like.
But you're talking about in the sense of like a PFP project, right?
Yeah, I'm just trying to outline and identify like all the different ways to actually like execute like something of substance in this industry, this space, you know, like and yeah. I don't know. And then all the considerations that go around that is like as these participants who are coming in to funnel capital, I guess, to mm-hmm. these different, God damn, I don't even want to say the word.
Yeah.
These different like endeavors. I was about to say enterprises, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, you can sell a product and you can sell it and collect $10 million, right? That is a company, yeah. right? That is fine. Mm-hmm. And you can use those $10 million, either misuse them or use them properly to create more products.
Yeah.
Right? So that is an okay thing. If people want to speculate on those products, I mean, that they can, because these are tokens. These are tradable assets. Mm-hmm. But that's not the intention.
Yeah.
So you can create good products and get money so you can build more products.
Yeah.
Right. That is a mechanism.
Yeah. Like the Fair Mint stuff is cool. Like you said, it's just, it's not, that in itself is not enough to like result in anything of, in my opinion, like real substance.
Yeah. I agree. I don't think you can.
Well, yeah. Cause like,
I mean, especially if you're relying on someone else to do it, right? Mm. You can't do it that way.
Yeah, at best, it's a good vehicle to kind of like galvanize a community, just like, you know, Bitmap. Bitmap was a fair distribution. Mm-hmm. You got tens of thousands of people now.
Bitmap is the best example of this, like of execution of a fair mint. And actually getting products out of it.
It's true, yeah.
There's not a better situation than Bitmap. Not one.
I totally agree. Yeah, this is like the flagship,
flagship crypto product.
Yeah, poster child of like what an actual like Web3
yes.
like ecosystem. As root as it gets, like root to Web3.
Well,
like,
I would say it's probably, it's like Bitcoin and then Bitmap, right? It's like Bitcoin itself has galvanized a bunch of creators, right?
No, a whole fucking global like industry and like...
Yeah,
as a result. And it took many, many years for that to happen.
But then if someone asks, what's the use case of a crypto token? It's like, well, point to Bitmap. And it's like, that's the use case. Mm. That's how you galvanize a community of creators. Everyone, man, I hear these Twitter spaces like, my community is a bunch of builders. It's like, no, they're not. You know what community is a bunch of builders? It's Bitmap.
Yeah. Like, for real. There's actual building happening. There's people actually, you know... We're starting to see like evidence of like actual like business, like, you know, emerging
services.
Value. Value is the real word. You know, value can be extrapolated and, you know, interpreted as like a business into a business model or business endeavor or whatever.
Yeah.
Basically, people are creating real products that have real value to this, you know, originating from the concept of bitmaps and such. And, I don't know. It's an interesting like experiment actually see succeed in real time, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. It's just now it's going to have to compete against like the much more like feels like artificial non-organic mm-hmm. version of what crypto kind of like introduces during a bull market.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm mixing a lot of words here of like trying to like really convey what it is. It's like a separation and ideals, I guess, that I struggle mm-hmm. with. Consistently, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, it's not an easy thing, especially when it seems like people get surprised when they get like these see these scams.
Yeah, well, and then we say scams. Is it a scam? Like, are these scams?
Well, some of them are.
Yeah, I guess they are scams. The definition of a scam meaning like
the intention to like fleece people, I guess.
Yeah, well, fleece meaning like, yeah, just collect, extract value and money for themselves and not deliver anything of true substance. Like there is no real intention of that.
Yeah, correct.
It's like internally.
So it's different than extracting value and then.
With the actual intent.
With the good intent and it just doesn't work. For whatever reason, market forces, no interest, bad product. Yeah. I mean, it's just a company that didn't work. There's 98% of all companies started fail.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's the hard part. That's the hardest thing to kind of like regulate, I guess, and get a clear interpretation on as far as like its intent, right?
Yeah.
Because like a lot of these founders are anonymous for one. They don't have like they're not as like transparent as us. Mm-hmm. It'd be nice if like somehow the market like adopted like an ethos or an ideology of like, you know what, if you're going to found something, yeah, like you need to be as transparent.
You need to start a podcast.
Something. You need some public presence. Like for a certain amount of time in order to generate some semblance of trust.
Yeah.
But of course that's not aligned with the ethos of Web3. He's like, this is a trustless ecosystem and
yeah.
Anonymity is a big thing. Privacy is important, like all that shit, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It is important, but I mean, that's not the only way to do it either. Like you don't have to be anonymous just to create stuff in crypto.
No, but yeah, there's a lot of them. I mean, if we just go through our list of people we've interviewed this year,
yeah,
in the Ordinal space, more than 50% of them remain anonymous.
Yeah.
Right. And we have our own differing viewpoints on like, you know, what that means, but I'm starting to like lean in your direction. Like typically that results in like a,
yeah, bad outcomes.
Negative outcomes down the line.
Yeah.
In more cases than not. Right.
Yeah. It's because it's so easy. Yeah. They just disappear.
There's no accountability.
Yeah.
At all.
And that's the point. It's like, that's why you stay wary about anonymous accounts.
Yeah.
Stay wary. Now there's mechanisms where you can kind of discover like some truth by anonymous projects raising funds.
Yeah.
They have to do due diligence, right? Those investors, they have to look into your background. That's mm-hmm. that's what they do.
Yeah.
Right? We know this because we went through it, right? Yeah. But, I mean, we're not anonymous.
Well, protocol deployers, I guess, like it's fine to remain anonymous and such because in most cases, it's at some point, like your influence on that protocol
goes away.
Should actually like,
yeah,
you should deleverage yourself from that aspect.
So, distance yourself, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we're seeing that in the case of Bitmap. I mean, Bitoshi hasn't really contributed much in recent months as far as like outline of any kind of like guidance or anything like that.
I mean, he has come up with some other stuff, but it's not the same as like the underlying Bitmap.
Right, like the infrastructure stuff.
Yeah.
The community is really stepping up and kind of like contributing on that end, right? Mm-hmm. It's like we've got ourselves working on, you know, the parceling side of things in collaboration with Benny and Track.
Mm-hmm. DMT is
the non-arbitrary, like the resource commodity stuff. Like this is, you know, from the community.
Yeah.
Then we have other people like, you know, Jeff and Recursiveverse working mm-hmm. on the actual content.
IMSO Chris, Foxyverse.
Yeah, working.
Scribe.space.
Yeah, working on the actual like virtual stacks of like what the experience layer is going to look like.
Yeah, imagine if Bitmap was like an enterprise and you had to like pay everybody to do this stuff. Like, Will, yeah. Iron Man, you work on DMT. IMSO Chris, work on Bitmap Valley. Here's your salary.
Yeah.
It's like, it would be impossible.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really liking how this Bitmap thing is panning out, dude. I am. Like, it's working It's working.
It's ideal.
Yeah. Like I like now that we're kind of like outlining it, like everybody is stepping up. There's different actors focusing on their lane of contribution.
Yeah.
And it brings me back to those early days of Decentraland. Remember where it's like when Decentraland first launched and we were doing our podcast, I'm like, dude, there's so many of these like torches like laying on the ground. Remember
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I remember that.
It's like, and they're just all sitting there. And like the expectation is like at some point, everyone has to pick up their own torch.
Yeah.
It's like our torch is like, well, there's this like DAO mechanism, part of Decentraland, right? But there's nobody really like organizing the community.
Yeah.
And like getting the real discussions going. It's like, I guess this is a torch we need to pick up.
Yeah.
And then once we did, we're like, okay, let's schedule the first roundtable discussions. Yeah. Let's get all the builders together in one room.
Yeah.
And let's talk about what needs to be done and such.
Yeah. Right?
So that was it. And then there's another torch, like, oh shit. It's like, you know,
it's like the content layer is not good here.
Yeah, it's like a lot of people own this land, don't know how to do shit with it. It's like, oh, I guess we need to bring developers and landowners together yeah. and build a cohesive ecosystem around that. So, you know,
yeah,
we can actually have some real substance deployed in this virtual environment, right?
Yeah, that was another torch. Did you know that we're more than just a YouTube channel? We also built MetaZone, the first app store for the metaverse. Buy, sell, and explore a new class of digital assets like our flagship game, Rovi.ai. Support us by collecting your digital assets through MetaZone at MetaZone.io. Like, comment, and subscribe to stay updated. All right, back to the video.
Yeah, so in other words, not enough torches got picked up in Decentraland, to be honest.
Yeah, they all like fizzled out, like torches.
Yeah, there's a lot of historical lessons to be learned from Decentraland. It's like some of the people did try to pick up some torches, and the Decentraland Foundation kind of like pushed that away.
Yeah. So now we're transitioning to another topic is DAOs and their
DAOs and governance.
Their inability to execute on the right stuff.
Yeah.
And that's the challenge, is executing on the right stuff, not just executing at all.
Yeah, like actually the real mechanisms of like how DAOs even truly operate, because Decentraland was weird where it's like there's this whole like voting component to everything and the token was involved in all that and the governance decisions and such. But
and then whales just dominated the decision making, and they don't even know anything about like the technical requirements of how to facilitate an economy. They're like funding projects that are absolutely useless.
Correct. Yeah, there's just too much like forming like a clear consensus on anything is like very difficult, and then before you know it, it's like it just nothing really gets done.
So the analogy that we like to use to explain this, because a lot of people aren't aware of what's happening with Decentraland, especially inside their DAO governance communications.
It's true.
Is you need to be able to build an airplane and let it fly.
Yeah.
If it flies, it's a good airplane, right? You use it, you get to from point A to point B, and you get there safely. Good product. Great. Yeah. Everybody can use the plane. Then you launch the DAO governance aspect of it. Then you allow the community to decide where the plane goes, when it goes, how high it goes, and how like much it goes, who rides it.
Yeah.
You know, how big the plane is.
Well, it's already like a big plane, right? It's a plane.
It's a plane, yeah.
But it's like, yeah, how do we make this plane faster?
Yeah.
And like increase its capacity and things like that, like, you know. Oh, you know what? You know what we need? We need fucking TVs in the back of every seat. Yeah. Like that's like a good DAO decision. Yeah. It's like now my plane, you know, it's gonna attract more people.
Yeah,
right. Things like this. But without the plane in motion, the community has to like figure out how to like architect and engineer,
yeah,
a flying device, which is very complicated. Right?
Yeah. How can you have a community architect a flying device? How do you do that?
Yeah.
It's never been done before. That's why you don't do that.
Typically, like these like real innovations, they don't come from like communal efforts. They come from like individuals who like have a vision and a clear path like to execution, right? We're talking about like real technical innovations.
Engineering, yeah.
Yeah, it's like they're typically singular efforts, right?
Yeah, it reminds, just because I saw the movie recently, Oppenheimer.
Oh, dude, I need to see that.
But
apparently it's going to win like an Oscar or something.
But this is a collection of really smart individuals, engineers, to come together to figure out how to build an atomic bomb.
Okay.
Why? They were motivated because if they don't build it, the Russians, someone else was going to build this.
Yeah.
Right? So they had to be first, and it was a race.
Yeah.
And so
you put together like the best minds.
The engineers came together. It wasn't like regular people who held tokens deciding on what happens with this atomic bomb. No.
Yeah. Imagine if in a parallel reality where it's like, you know, these decisions were actually governed by a true democratic process where it's like, you know what? We're going to engineer this mass murder device, but the American people, these engineers have to come up and propose their designs to the American people.
Yeah.
And like the American people are going to have to vote every single one, at least like a sensible percentage of them to achieve like a countrywide consensus.
Yeah.
This is the proper design.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like imagine the mess, the nightmare of that situation, right?
It's like, no, the pressures are wrong.
Yeah.
Like you need more pressure.
Yeah.
Like that's what the community is saying, is like that's never going to happen.
Exactly. So yeah. But now that the mass murder device has been built, Now, yeah, like the
now
the,
you institute governance on like how you use it,
how
you
manage
it,
yeah,
who like holds you, it, how it's held,
yeah. It's like, you know what, who has the power to actually like, you know, use this device? And right now, it's like, I guess the president, at least from a perception standpoint, the president has like a singular power to actually activate and use this thing.
Yeah,
which seems like a crazy idea.
Someone has to, you know, push the button, right?
Yeah, I guess. So, yeah, this is governance is complicated, dude. It's very, very complicated.
Yeah, I'm surprised that you even like the subject. It's just so
That's why
nebulous.
Well, that's why I like it so much, because it's such a clusterfuck of like a ideal.
I like the engineering part because there are just a handful of ways to do stuff.
Yeah, you like the certainty, I guess,
a plane can only be built this way.
Yeah, engineering is the application of like fact.
Yes.
Right, mathematics and physics and all these things that are like factually known to exist.
Independent from anyone's belief system.
Right, like they function as they must function because they cannot function in any other way. So you can apply this, you know, as long as you understand it.
Yeah.
But me, I like the theoretical stuff. I like the stuff that's like nobody's figured out yet, you know?
Yeah.
That, to me, that's the interesting stuff, you know?
Yeah, I feel like it's so much harder.
I know. But it's so much more interesting, in my opinion. I don't know. It's like
I don't know if we can
Peer your head into like the unknown is like, dude, this is fascinating, you know?
Yeah, but it is so unknown that there might not even be an answer.
Yeah, that's okay. I can live with that.
Because I can't point to a single example where we have a DAO that like works, other than like, I guess maybe Maker DAO, but even then, it's like it's front loaded by the whales.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's okay. It's like, you know, it's primitive, right? We're just outlining that this is a primitive component to I guess our Web3 ecosystems and stuff. But
you know what we need? We need a system of like token allocation where it's like if you're an engineer, like let's say, you know, the spectrum of engineers, right? And chemical, mechanical, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And you make some sort of like development for the industry, you get like a token as a reward, right?
Mm.
And then it's like when it's time to govern some sort of like technical thing about implementing an atomic bomb, for example.
Yeah.
It's like maybe those people with those tokens get to decide what happens.
You're talking about like, you know, I don't know, like
a well-distributed decision-making token.
Yeah, like there's more to your weight than just like your existence, right?
Yes.
Like that's what we have in like our democratic system is like everybody has equal weight and as far as
but there's no equal intelligence.
Right. But the way to actually leverage, I guess, your ability or your status or your power as an individual is through the deployment of capital, right? Money.
Mm. Yeah.
Typically money represents, you know, like your ability to like leverage your powers or your intelligence, whatever it is, your contributions in society. I got a lot of money as a result.
Yeah.
Now I can actually like influence things because I'm one man.
Yeah, that's true.
My vote don't mean shit, but my money means shit.
Yeah, you know? but money in that context means that you could get lucky, right? You might win the lottery and all of a sudden you have a bunch of influence, but why?
Because money? But those people who get lucky with their money, they don't typically like deploy that in a way that's going to influence anything, right? I'm talking about like the billionaires of this earth.
Yeah,
that's, you know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
They're over here like, you know, investing in like media companies. And like now I get to dictate like the fucking narrative and the global zeitgeist. I get to somehow impact that. I'm one man.
Yeah.
Or I'm one family or whatever. Or it's like, I get to contribute to the campaigns of these politicians that align with my ideologies. It's like, I'm one man, but because I have billions of these like power units.
Yeah. To a certain extent, it makes sense.
Yeah. I mean,
that's largely how FTX got where it got, right?
It makes sense, meaning like it should be that way. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, it makes sense. It should be that way. Like on paper, that's a good design.
Mm.
But in execution, in reality, when you play this simulation out, it's like here's FTX manipulating. Elon trying to contribute.
Yeah, that's all I was going to say. It would make sense if like human beings were less selfish, I guess.
Yeah.
But in the context of like our actual selfishness, it's like it's dangerous.
See, now we're getting into philosophy because I think there's an element of selfishness due to like our being innate, but I think it's the environment that makes us selfish. Mm. It's the fact that there is money involved at all, mm-hmm. and the scarcity idea of it makes us selfish. Mm. And it's not that it's innate. It is purely induced by the environment.
Interesting.
So if we were in an environment where there's like pure abundance because we have automation and we have AI, it's like we have it figured out, right? There's no need to be selfish, right? And so it is more likely that humans wouldn't be selfish if there was abundance. That's the theory. It's hard to test this because...
Yeah, I don't think it's just money that's like... I think human beings, if you go back to like human history, pre like economics, I think beings have always demonstrated.
If you always go back in time, there's always elements of scarcity. There's never been a time of abundance.
Yeah. I guess, if in the absence of money, there's different resources
scarcity.
At stake.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. The idea of scarcity is that, I guess, where we evolved most of our like survival mechanisms around. Yeah,
it makes sense because if there's... food is scarce. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try to hoard food.
I have to outcompete my people in my environment no matter what. Because they're out to grab the same thing that I need to survive.
There's only a limited amount.
Yeah.
There's no choice to be selfish.
That's interesting. But do you think it's like a flip of the switch? Okay, all of a sudden we've achieved true abundance.
No, it's never going to be a flip of a switch, but it's going to be a transition. Right? All of a sudden there's enough food for everybody because we've built automation systems to pump out food. Now we don't have to pay for food. Everybody has food now. So we transition from that hierarchy of need up to another level.
Okay. But that's what I'm saying. Right now the angle of human greed or whatever isn't like centered around the resource of food.
Correct.
Like, you know,
it's the resource of money.
Yeah, move up that hierarchy a bit and then like the competitive realm of like resource acquisition, it changes. If you don't need money anymore, like what is it? Like what is that thing that we're now competing over? What is it? Like attention? Mm. Like I feel like there's always going to be something that humans strive to like out.
Well, there's always going to be problems.
Yeah.
Right. If you solve a problem, you're going to be remembered. And I think that's what we're competing for, to be remembered.
Mm. Yeah. Well, to be remembered.
Elon is forever in the books. 100, 200 years from now, they're going to look back at Elon and look at what he did.
Yeah, for sure. I 1,000% agree with that, but I don't know if that was like his true motivation for what he did.
I feel like he wants to contribute. So it's like he contributed. Like it's official. He's done what he wanted to do. And now he's just continuously contributing. I feel like that's motivation enough, whether there's abundance or scarcity.
Right. Okay, let's pull this back if we can to like, we're talking governance and stuff, and governance is on our mind. At least on my mind, a lot lately because, we've done something. If you haven't been paying attention, we've done something recently. Like we've deployed successful to a degree, meta protocol.
Yeah.
And the DMT NAT standard, right?
It's successful to a degree, but we should measure that degree.
I know.
Like right now, there's almost 13,000 holders of a single token. Right. You measure that to any BRC20 token, it's like top 10.
Right. Yeah. And then the ethos that is kind of like permeating is growing and strengthening by the day. People are starting to kind of like understand what it is. We said what we were setting out to do is like literally create a fork in the road. Now we have a multi-option digital matter creation field. Right. Mm. We have arbitrary and non-arbitrary creation means. Right. Right. Yeah. So successful in that sense. Now, we need more evidence to suggest that, like, you know, real ecosystem designers see value in deploying these things, mm-hmm. like actually creating non-arbitrary tokens and leveraging the built-in benefits of that and incorporating that into their, like, token economies and such. Then, like, okay, this is, like, a forever thing. Yeah. This is a long-standing component to all of Web3 and crypto. That's shit. What have we done? And then people are making it clear to us and they're telling us like, hey, you guys did a good job. You fucking killed it with this. But guess what? At some point you're going to die. Right. Yeah. And right now, like the keys to any like alteration lies in your hands. Right.
Right.
As of right now, because it's literally only like month or two old.
Yeah.
And we're in the process of building that plane you were talking about.
That's right.
Like we're trying to make sure this plane isn't like filled with holes and gaps, and it's like before it even takes off, like it doesn't even have a shot.
Yeah, that's right.
That's like our stance, right? But I know people don't agree with us. Like, dude, as quickly as possible, you need to like distribute the, you know, the ability to contribute to the construction of this thing, right?
Yeah. So if you're listening to this, I guess a few days ago we had a Twitter space where we go deep into this with the community.
That's right.
And I feel like this decision of like trying to rush governance is to try to instill some semblance of utility.
Mm.
Why? To perceive more value than what currently exists. Perceive more value.
Mm-hmm.
And if people ask, well, what's the utility of NAT? And nobody has an answer for it. It's just a demonstration token. It is perceived less valuable than a utility token.
I see.
And at the same time, you look at Ordi. What's the utility of Ordi? There's no utility. It's worth $1.5 billion.
Yeah.
And the whole motivation here isn't to necessarily just increase a market cap because...
I mean, you're talking specifically about the NAT token.
Yeah.
Right? Because the NAT protocol, I mean, you can deploy an infinite... I don't know about infinite, but you're going to deploy many tokens, right? But the discussion is centered around the NAT.
Yeah, and using it as a utility. And I feel like the part of the motivation is to increase its value by making it a utility token where the plane hasn't been completed.
Yeah.
And it hasn't even, like, taken off yet. We've shown the plane, like, it resembles a plane, and it has a good test flight, but it's not ready for production.
Mm. Yeah.
Right, we're not going to mass produce this plane yet,
mm-hmm.
right? Until it's done.
Yeah,
and so that's the discussion.
Yeah, so I think the conversation really becomes like, how do we organize the community's contribution towards that construction of that plane? Outside of like, it's like we're going to inject this convolution mechanism of like, now we have this token that now is part of like the governance process, because we've seen what that does in the past, and it slows down significantly the proliferation or like the manifestation of this plane design.
Yeah.
Right. Now that doesn't necessarily say like we don't need outside contribution of thought on all this. And I think we're going to actively take steps to make sure like that these opinions are being factored in, right?
Yeah, we're in a weird spot because according to Benny, you know, this meta protocol, which is probably the most complex meta protocol that exists,
mm-hmm.
is going to take, you know, anywhere between 1 to 2 years to complete. And so in those 1 to 2 years, you know, who's making the decisions and why are you making those decisions?
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel like with us being, you know, a part of this, we can at least show some transparency.
Yeah.
And that transparency should be enough to be like, okay, I know that these guys know what they're doing and they're going to make the good decisions because they're the aerospace engineers of this plane.
Yeah.
Right. And so I'm not an aerospace engineer as a, you know, follower of the podcast, for example. Right. But you're going to trust the doctors and the engineers and all these like experts to like do this thing properly.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I mean, how do you manage, you know, input from the outside with the engineers of the builders of this thing?
Yeah. And what's that threshold or that point of conversion where it's, and yeah, like how do you like trickle in into the, cause this is maybe, a ubiquitous like problem or not problem. Like, this is a ubiquitous like discussion amongst all true Web3, you know, ecosystems, right? Like at some point this has to factor in.
Yeah, maybe the point here is not so much like governance as so much as input.
Yeah, like
maybe we need a formal process of input.
Well, that's what we're going to lay out as groundwork for sure. Like first of all, cuz that way to alleviate like that you know, like we're somehow just going to agree with the sentiment that this, we need to declare this token as like, this is the umbrella governance vehicle for this entire protocol.
Yeah.
As like somehow like we're just trying to like, you know, inject that market sentiment, you know, as like trying to just manipulate the market just to pump the price of a token. Like,
yeah.
That's not the point of like what, yeah, what this not. Is all about. I mean, we get it. These are crypto tokens, right? They're non-arbitrary, so they're going to function like all arbitrary tokens do, and it's going to attract the same market sentiment that arbitrary tokens do. People are going to want to leverage them in the same way, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Speculative vehicles, right? Mm-hmm. At some point, they're going to be leveraged as utility vehicles to actually like support real ecosystems and real products and stuff like that.
That's right.
That's what we're really trying to get to, is like fast track the process to enabling real developers and creators to leverage these things as real tools, right? And then the whole market sentiment is just going to follow naturally and organically.
Yeah, it's the same argument that we have, was like, remember when people were pushing back on parcelization? Because there's 800,000 bitmaps, and if you parcel them out, yeah, there's 950 million parcels. Mm-hmm. It's like, but that's inflationary, right? And that's going to kill the price of bitmap.
Yeah.
It's like, it doesn't matter. It's part of the protocol, right? And so, but if you let people build on bitmaps, the value of bitmaps will increase. And so calm down, DGen. You're actually getting a better product as a result.
Yeah. Yeah. It's take off the short term perspective and think long term. And that's really difficult to do for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But that, especially in this space.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is bag bias, and we're operating in a very competitive like attention economy in the crypto space. Everybody's holding their speculative vehicles, and so it's like you feel a responsibility to like compete against everyone else, right? So it's a nonstop battle at play, and that's what these markets represent.
Yeah,
you know, which narrative wins out. So, but from our point of view, it's all about making sure the plane is well engineered. And it's going to attract the best engineers to kind of like leverage it to create, actual value, true substance, right?
Yeah, because we've seen this before. Anytime you create a platform, a tool set, anytime you use that tool set, the creators use this tool set, like us, the manifestors of this tool set.
Yeah.
We never do a better job than the community using that same tool set.
Never.
And that's how it's supposed to be. That's how it is, right? You're never going to be the best compared to a large community.
100%.
Right? And so our job, our desire is to contribute to building tools.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what DMT is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot to say about this. But yeah, so more roundtables. So we had our first Twitter space.
Mm-hmm.
We want this to be a regular, like, part, I guess, of our routine, weekly, hopefully, maybe bi-weekly. We don't know yet for sure.
Yeah, we'll see.
And we're trying to figure out how to actually like record this process so that, we could post it here. And so it has like, what's the word? Like
longevity.
Yeah. Like it's on record.
Yeah. Correct.
Just like our bitmap existence, right? Like we have a fucking 40 plus video catalog of like our attention on bitmap and like our perception, like where the value lies within it, all the stuff related to bitmap, it's there, it's logged, it's on this channel. So we're going to do the same thing as far as like NAT development, DMT experimentation. And, we want to incorporate as much of the community as we can in that, right? Through these Twitter spaces and on YouTube. Eventually this is, I think, going to all take place in a bitmap environment.
Yep. Right? Eventually. Yeah.
Yeah, because we have a history of doing that type of thing,
Yeah, Bitmap OS, dude.
Well, I mean, like back in the Decentraland days.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
We leveraged Decentraland as like how the metaverse should be leveraged. It's like a much more intimate, better Twitter space,
Yeah, it's way more entertaining.
Yeah, we're actually present with the community.
Yeah, you can participate in activities that are set up there.
Yeah.
That's the best way to go. It's better than like sitting on a phone chatting with people.
I mean, that's okay too, but we have a lot of like things to prove.
Yeah.
We have to prove that NATs and digital matter theory is like worth a fuck, but we're not in this ourselves. Like the community is going to contribute and help us do that.
Yeah.
And then of course we have to prove that bitmap, we need to contribute towards like proving that bitmap matters and the metaverse overall. Right.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of ginormous tasks ahead of us,
Yeah, so exciting times. There's a lot to kind of work on. I mean, mScribe is every day continuously being worked on. MetaZone as well. So there's so many things that that are important to the like the bitmap protocol and our contribution to it as far as like DMT and NATs go.
Yeah.
And you know, we want the community to participate, especially in ways that make sense, right? Because there's a lot of ways where it doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, there's a lot to consider with that. So stay tuned for our Twitter Spaces and then check out our other videos. And I think we have an interview with Foxy coming up.
We should.
It was supposed to be this last week, but
yeah. If you're wondering, like, whoa, two back to back, like you know, Block Runner podcast without an interview. Yeah, because we've been on quite the streak. But yeah, we had to postpone some interviews, right?
Yeah, and let us know who we should interview. Right, we're trying to get Muneeb. But he's a
true, like,
he's a ninja out there, dude.
He's a true, like, end game boss, dude.
Yeah.
It's hard to slay. You know what I mean? But yeah, we
need several attempts to
see a couple of boss wipes.
Yeah.
Before we can actually clear that one, dude. So, but yeah, Muneeb would be nice just to, like, really get his vision of, like, the Bitcoin ecosystem. Obviously, he's had one for many years now. He has to have, like, one of the more interesting takes as far as, like,
what's his take on ordinals?
Yeah, everything that's been manifesting before his eyes. Like, he's been patiently waiting for something like this to happen.
Yeah, he's, like, out there twiddling his thumbs, like, when, like, will people care about Bitcoin?
Right. He's like, you know, what's happening on Ethereum is cool and all, but, you know, Bitcoin, though.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to abandon ship, and he didn't, right?
That's right.
So he's still there developing. Now it just seems like the market is, like, perfectly fit for his reign.
For his solution.
Yeah, that's a better way to say it. His reign. Yeah. So that would be good. Who else? I mean, yeah. There's tons of developers building DeFi, I think, on stacks.
Yeah.
Any new bitmap, I guess, contributors that we need to be made aware of? We definitely want to get Jeff back on. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, talk about Merlin Chain.
Hell yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So that's it for us. Yeah, just let us know in the comment section below. We like doing these interviews. We like talking about to builders. And yeah, I mean, stay tuned for, like, DMT stuff. We got so many updates coming up on Mscribe, and then probably a big one on Metazone eventually. So yeah, stay tuned for that. Appreciate you guys for watching, and we will catch you in the next podcast.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to the BlockRunner podcast. Make sure you visit the website at theblockrunner.com and sign up to stay up to date on the latest crypto. Reach out to us on Twitter at theblockrunner.